The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and the power of Elijah, he will go before people to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, children. If you're able, come on, get close to our... There you are. I see you. How are you doing this morning? You doing good? Give me a thumbs up if you're doing good, or a wave. Awesome. Great to see you. Well, today we're talking a lot, or we hear a lot in our readings about prayer. So I thought maybe I would give you some tips on how to pray. And maybe you already know, because really all we have to do is say, "God, I love you," and that can be a prayer. Or, "God, thank you," and that is a prayer as well. But you can tell that in church service, we have kind of steps that we go through. And those steps are really easy to remember. There are just four of them. So first, we want to greet God. And how do we do that? Like, well, when we say our Lord's Prayer, we say, "Our Father in heaven." But you can actually say, "Dear God," or "Dear Creator," or "Hey God, how are you?" And that would still be a greeting. And then the second thing that we like to say is, "You are so special. You are set apart." That's what the word holy means, or hallowed, when we say, "Hallowed be thy name." But you can simply say, "Dear God," or "Hello God, you are awesome." and I love you. And that would be just as well. And then what you can do is tell God thank you for all the things that you have, for your family and your friends and your house and your school and whatever it is that you are thankful for, your games, whatever that might be. And then something really important after that, the fourth step, you want to pray for the people in your life. Pray for others. So you could pray for your family and your friends, specific things. Like if they're sick, you want them to get better. Or if they need something, that God will be with them. Sometimes we wish God would actually just grant and make a miracle right then and there and make everything happen. But what's important when we pray is to know that God is with us. And God is with those who we pray for. And for them and for us to know that God is with us, always listening, with love and kindness. And then we can say, we'll talk to you later. Amen. So I guess there's five steps. Forgot that one. So let us pray. Hey, God, you are awesome, and we love you. We thank you for today and all of our many blessings, everything that we have. Lord, we also ask you to be with those who are sick, our family and friends who we miss and we want to see. We hope that that will happen soon, but we know until it does, you are with us. It's wonderful to know that you are present. We'll talk to you later. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Father in heaven to you this glorious day. You know, prayer can be peaceful and life-giving, as well as frustrating and painful. As we continue our Advent journey, exploring our words for this Advent season, ponder, pray, praise, and proclaim. This week, we focus on pray. I'm going to ask you to finish this statement, and this is what I was talking about in the recording at the beginning of the service. Fill in the blank and put that into the chat. Prayer is what? I'm just going to wait and see if we have a few responses out there. I know this is kind of different, asking you to do homework on the spot during the sermon, but I know you can do it. I got one response, healing. That is so very true. It is peace. It's a blessing. Yes, it is. These are all wonderful answers. Restorative, cleansing. Prayer is all these things and so much more. I have another question for you. Prayer is communication with God, an act of faith and love, conversation with God. Amen. Thank you all for your responses. And keep giving them because I will read these later. Prayer is a gift. Thank you. I'm going to ask you another question, rhetorical, but you can answer on your own. Who had the most influence on your prayer life? Who taught you to pray? Parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, maybe sponsors or godparents, friends, more likely a combination of all these people. As a lifelong Lutheran, my prayer life was mostly shaped by observing others. Church services seemed like they were full of prayer, and there was this one type or one part in the service that seemed to last forever as I remember it as a child. No, I'm not talking about the sermon, though. Those were times, but also this really long responsive prayer. Of course, we know them as the intercessory prayers. They just seemed to go on forever. And I remember Mom making me stand up during that time, which, you know, when I was young, really much rather just sit down. I was tired anyway. They're the ones that got me up to go to this place. but they were very important that we ask God to be with others. I remember as a child, every meal around our dinner table, we would fold our hands, bow our heads, and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen." Now, I'm the youngest of four children, so I don't remember a time we didn't say this prayer. And because I was so young, I have to admit that it wasn't until later in life that I actually paid attention to the words of what I was saying. Prior to reading the prayer and taking them, the words in my youth, as I said the prayer, it was more following a rhythmic cadence, not realizing the words, but only saying them to say them. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Over the years, I have realized that there are peaks and valleys to our prayer lives. Sometimes we know everything is going great. And if we remember to pray, we usually pray that those great times continue. There are times when we get tired of praying because we don't see the results we wish. And there are times when we want to shout at God and ask why we have entered this time of trial. I will admit, as an adult and even as a pastor at times, my prayer life feels like going through the motions, returning to the rhythmic cadence of an empty feeling that hits the center of my stomach, because I begin to wonder, is God listening? And I wonder if Zechariah and Elizabeth found this point in their lives, going through the motions of rituals and prayer. We are told that they were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. And so one would assume they were raised to follow the commandments and regulations. I bet their parents made them go to temple. In a church today, they would be considered strong Christians, participating on several ministry teams and filling in as assistant minister or ushers whenever needed, first ones to volunteer for Family Promise and Jubilee Christmas and LUM, filling in their offering pledges, lickety-split. Is this why the angel Gabriel, a messenger of God, who stands in the presence of God, was sent proclaiming, "Your prayer has been heard"? I don't believe so, and here's why. There are many similarities between Gabriel's visit to Zechariah and Mary. I mean, they both are startled with fear by the visit. They're both told not to be afraid. They are told about an unexpected birth of a son and what great joy that son would bring and what they should name him. They both had doubts and questions. But look at the differences. Zechariah was in the Holy of Holy Places. I mean, this was a place that nobody else could go other than the person drawn by lot at that time. And when they went into the Holy of Holies, they would actually have a string with bells wrapped to their robes. So in case something overtook them and they fainted, they could be pulled out. And also, many others were outside praying and keeping watch. In Mary's case, she was all alone, not even praying, rather minding her own business. Zechariah and Elizabeth were very righteous before God, living according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord. Mary was, well, we don't know. We have no backstory to who Mary was, other than a virgin, which the Greek word translated for virgin simply means young, unmarried woman. Zechariah and Elizabeth were given instructions on how to raise John. Mary was not given instructions on how to raise Jesus. When Zechariah asked how he would know this, the angel Gabriel made him mute until the baby was born. You got to smile at that one. I mean, it's just kind of a dark comedy that's there. Because when Mary asked about how this could happen, the angel told her how the child will be made holy. God does not respond to prayer because we live better lives than others. God will not send messengers because we are more righteous and follow the commandments or regulations of the Lord. God responds to all prayer with love and understanding, even in the silence. If we pray in hopes that God, like a genie in a bottle, will do what we ask, we miss the point of prayer. Look at it this way. If you have a friend and you ask them to fix all your problems, and the friend does not do it, who's the one with the issue? Don't get me wrong. Miracles can and do happen. And maybe prayer plays a part in that. But prayer should always be more about preparing ourselves for what God is doing rather than preparing God for what we want God to do. I want to say that again. Prayer should always be more about preparing ourselves for what God is doing rather than preparing God for what we want God to do. Prayer is to prepare us. To prepare us to see, hear, feel God's presence in this sometimes scary, sometimes glorious, sometimes hurtful, sometimes joyful world. Prayer is to prepare us to know God is in the greatest of times and the gravest of them. Prayer is to prepare us no matter what trial we enter. We know that God is present. Prayer is to prepare us for when our faith is small, that it only needs to be the size of a mustard seed so that we can move mountains. Prayer is to prepare ourselves to feel the presence of God in our children and our parents. Prayer is to prepare us to see the face of God in the face of friends, in the face of strangers, especially now that we will see God's face in an infant as Jesus is born. In our second reading today from 1 Timothy, we hear, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. It is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We need to pray for everyone, no matter who they are, rich, poor, famous, infamous, government officials, garbage collectors, so that we can all live quiet and peaceful lives in godliness and dignity. The point of prayer is to realize God is with you through the Holy Spirit and that God is continually calling us to a deeper understanding of our role within God's love. Tom Wright writes in his book, Luke for Everyone, God regularly works through ordinary people doing what they normally do, who with a mixture of half faith and devotion are holding themselves ready for whatever God has in mind. The story is about much more than Zechariah's joy of having his son at last or Elizabeth's exultation and being freed from the scorn of the mothers in the village. It's about the great fulfillment of God's promises and purposes. But the needs and hopes and fears of ordinary people are not forgotten in this larger story, precisely because of who Israel's God is, the God of lavish and self-giving love. When God acts on the large scale, God takes care of the human concerns as well. The drama, which now takes center stage, is truly the story of God, the world and ordinary and every ordinary human being who has ever lived in it. As we pray, we prepare ourselves to be a little bit more Christ-like in our humanity, just as Jesus, or just as Mary was. As she said, let it be with me according to your word. When we pray, try not to be concerned if we are going, try not to be concerned if we're only going through the motions of the rhythmic cadence, or if we're sweating blood in the garden. When we pray, try not to be concerned about our wishes coming true or angels appearing with all the answers. As we pray, know God is listening. God is listening with lavish and self-giving love. So here's my gift to you this Sunday. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to pray. You can use these 3 minutes to pray as you wish, or you can try something new. My wife, Missy, is a spiritual director, and her co-workers, Julie Stegelman, are working with a staff at a church in Fort Wayne on prayer practices. Julie found these words to use with embodying prayer from an unknown author. And there are motions to go through with them. Don't get nervous. Be brave. I know we're part of the Lutheran Frozen Chosen, but there's only 4 words and 4 movements. First movement is cupping your hands as we await Christ. The second motion is to have your arms up as we allow Christ. The third motion is hands over heart as you accept Christ. And then the fourth motion is your arms out to the side to attend Christ. Please join me. Move your hands above, reaching out to allow Christ. Move your hands to over your heart to accept Christ. And finally, your hands out in front of you to attend Christ. May this prayer be a blessing to you this week and through our Advent season. Amen.